Boker Tov. We're up to Sadi Gimel Amad Aleph. Zakt Gemara. Bay Mine Rami Barchama Merav Chizda. Rami Barchama is Rav Chizda the following shot. Remember, we were discussing in our Mishnah that if the blood of the Chatas goes on the Begin, it splatters onto a big dikuna, the Begin needs kibus. It needs to be laundered. It needs to be washed. So Bay Mine, we also spoke, it has to be dafka, a kosher dam. Dam as puzzle doesn't render it tame. What if the
only if it was kosher stain, then it's a stain.
Correct. We had a discussion already, we touched on it, whether that to be kosher through and through, or if it was once kosher and then became puzzle. Our Mishnah clearly said, even if it was kosher and then became puzzle, if at the time it hit the beged it's puzzle, no din of kibbutz, but there will be a dissenting view. Let's see. So like Gemara, Nitas al beged tamei mahu. So if the dam splattered onto a beged that was tamei mahu, what's the shayla? Lam d'shayla. The dam becoming tamei, top of tzadikim amalav. The dam is becoming tamei as it hits the beged, becomes tamei. So do I say since the dam became tamei as it hits the beged, the dam hit the beged is puzzle, and therefore the beged doesn't require kibbutz? Do we say b'shas it hit the beged, it was still kosher, and therefore it requires kibbutz? Classic idea of giti v'yata bangacha. Same idea, right? The woman, how can we accept her get? Her hand is her husband's hand. Does it come simultaneously or not? That's the idea. Airspace, excellent. That's going to be the Mars focus. Very good. Zot Gemara, Amrav, Huna, Breda, Bishua, Midikambayla, Hachi, from the fact that he asked me for Shaila. So the fact that he asked me for Shaila shows, Shema Mina, Haisla Shasakashi of Nifsla, ain't done in a ton of Gibas, right? Hani Mili, Bazakhazah, Vasakhas, Lai, Idomalashna. So, we spoke that a moment ago. The fact that he asked in the Shaila indicates that clearly you hold the fact that it once was kosher is not enough to require, like we said in the Mishnah, not enough to require the needing kibbutz. Has to be kosher till the moment it hits the beged. That's, otherwise it wouldn't have a Shaila. Because certainly it was kosher till it became tameh, so that alone should be enough. Clearly that's not enough. So we're going with the opinion that it needs to be kosher only till it's the beged. Our Shaila just is, do we say that it works like bezechas, it hits the beged, then so you have the din of kibbutz, and then becomes tummy afterwards? Or do you say, no, it's vasa, I'm sorry, I should say better. Do we say only would be subject to kibbutz if it happened b'zeh, but if it happens vasachas, not? But, or do you say even in the case of vasachas, where it's really happening at once, the mitzvah says, happens at once, it hits the beged, it becomes tummy, as it's going on the beged, or happening at once, would that also require kibbutz? That is the shayla. Amarle. So if Chizda is back to Rav Chama, plug to the Rabbelezer of Rabbanan, it's Mechlekes Rabbelezer Rabbanan, Aliba de Rabba, according to Rabba, Uketikah Metaretz Abaye, like where Abaye was Metaretz. If that sounds a little convoluted, the reason is because it is. So the Abaye Rav will argue with each other. This is Rabba, by the way. Rabba is Abaye's Rebbe. He also argues sometimes. This is Rabba. There will be a Mechlekes Gemara between Abaye and Rabba ultimately. We're going to bring a Mechlekes Rabbelezer and Rabbanan, which Rabba is going to interpret. Abaye is going to take that interpretation, ask a question it, and really reinterpret it, which is really not kiddikum metaretz Abaye. The first we actually speak out on that when the Gemara gets to that point later, that Abaye really offered an alternative teretz, but because Abaye was Rabba's Talmud, like we just pointed out, and Rabba ultimately agreed to it, so it's considered like Abaye was metaretz for Rabba, because that was ultimately the mahalach that Abaye / Rabba went forth with on this machlekes. So again, the way we're going to answer machlekes Rabban Rabbi Lazar, that is going to be the answer to this shaila, Rav Chizda says, that Rabbi Chum is asking about whether or not the tumah of the beged is going to affect the dam's ability to make the beged chayiv and kibbutz or not. Okay, what's the machlekes? Really a separate shaila, related but separate, similar ideas but totally separate. So let's Gemara. The time you learned to the Baiser, Blazar Aimer Mechata Shiritbu Mataran. Mechatos, let's say you have paradum waters. The paradum waters became tamei. The paradum waters themselves became tamei. Could they go now and be matar someone that's tamei? They became tamei with some other tumah, right? And now you want to take this paradum waters, spritz it on tamei mace, and purify the tamei mace from its tar. Does it still retain the powers of purifying from tumas mace, which is the powers of paradum waters, or not? So he says, I have a proof. It does. Abba says, mechatos shenitmu matarim. It does make tar. Why? Because you could take a nida who's tummy and you spritz the waters on the nida. And what's going on when you spritz on the nida? Thinking about what happens to the waters. The paradum waters, the mechatas waters hit the nida, they become tummy themselves, the paradum waters, right? And still, we find that it works. The nida does not have to become purified from her tumas nida before undergoing the entire process of tumas mase with the paradum waters. She can take care of the paradum waters for tumas mase, and then subsequently take care of the nida tumas afterwards. Right? Or it's simultaneous when she goes to the mikvah, she has to go to the mikvah at the end of tumas mase too. She gets rid of both tumas at once. The point is the fact that she's still tumas nida does not negatively affect the tumas, the mechatas waters. So it's a raya mechatas waters become tumas, aren't a problem. Now, here's where Mel, what you brought up before about being in the Avir. At what point, we're at the same shot, at what point are the paradum waters becoming tumas? Let's see. The Amar Rabbah, Rabbi Lazar b'shita Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Amra. And Rabbi explained that Rabbi Lazar is going in the shita of his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva, the Amar. Rabbi Kiva says as follows. Interesting case. Kli, Havaras Kli Agabe Makam Tame, Kmunach Tame. Rabbi Kiva says that if you pass over a Kli over a Makam Tame, it's as if the Kli was placed in the Makam Tame. When you pass over something, it's Kmunach Tame, it's as if it was placed. And you give it the status as if it was placed there, in which case the Kli would be Tame. The Mishnah actually elaborates very clearly. If a person is standing outside the Tanner, back in the day, especially in the Gemara terminology, Mishnayos, is always this earthenware, this earthenware edifice that used to cook in. So it's earthenware, we'll call it earthenware Kli. And there's Tumah inside the Tanner. If there's Sheretz in the Tanner, what does that do? That makes anything in the airspace, anything within the Tanner is Tame. Right? You have a Tanner. With the Sheretz in the Tanner, anything in the Tanner is Tame. The fellow standing outside the Tanner. Outside the Tanner, okay. And he reaches over to the window. So just to give it a little more flavor, you basically have a wall with a window. On the windowsill, we'll see in a second, is a kli of mechatas waters. Next to the window, next to the wall, is this oven, this kli cheres oven with sherets in it. And after that, on the other side of the oven, is this person standing. So he's passing his hand over the oven to the windowsill to take the mechatas waters, which he carries over the oven's airspace, right, to himself. Okay. He sticks his hand out to the windowsill. And he takes the mechatas waters from the window. And he brings it over the mouth of the tanner. So what's the lach? Rabbi Kiva says it's tamei. The word is tamei. Why does Rabbi Kiva say it's tamei? Hapligi, he has machalikas. Rabbi Kiva tzavar. Kimurach tamei. Rabbi Kiva says something that you carry over an area, like we just said in the Akadama to the Mishnah, is kimunach, as if it was placed there. If the waters are placed in the oven, certainly it would become tame, the tuma of the tuma sheretz, because it was in the tanner, in the airspace of the klicheres with the tuma. Rabban tzavi lav kimunach tame. He didn't put it down. You're right. If he didn't, being in the airspace alone is not kimunach, and therefore it's not tame. That's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan. That's how Rabbi explains it, fine.
One second.
And Abaye asked on this interpretation that Rabba put forth so far, Maida Rabbi Akiva, Bazasha Vira Al Klicheres Tame. That Rabbi Akiva is Maida, we have a brace that says that Rabbi Kiva is Maida, or Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva is Maida, Ba'azah Shevi'a Klicher is Tameh, in the case of Azah, sprinkling of the Mechatas waters, that passed over the same earthenware Kli that was, the earthenware Kli is Tameh, let's say, or I got Mishka Meshav Tameh, or on top of a couch, or a bed, or a seat that was Tameh, Shitahira. So interesting. Rabbi, just 1 second, put a pause on your logic, that if it's Kemunach Tameh, when you pass over, why would Rabbi Kiva say that when you spritz and the sprinkling passes over a Davar Tameh, that it's kosher, that it's okay, it doesn't become tamei. Why would he say that? Shitaira. Sheilach tov v'shem tamei l'malu klamata. Says Abaye, says this Mishnah, nothing makes something which is above tamei as if it's below. Remember Kiva when he says this, Ela kazayis ben ameis, except for kazayis ben ameis u'shaka mahilim. Only kazayis for ameis or any other mahilim, basically anything else which is tamei tumas oil, lasui, what's that anything else coming to include? Lasui evem menugas, include a brick from a house that was tamei tumas nega, tumas nega tsaras, that also tamei in oil. So basically lafuke tumas mesa and tumas tsaras, which is tamei tumas oil, over there, passing over, would taka make a tamei. But otherwise, a tumma that you're passing over does not make a tamei. So you're explaining, Rabbi Kiva says, when you take the kli over the oven, it's tamei, because avir, when it passes over, is kemunach tamei, as Tamei, says Abaye, that can't be the explanation, because Rabbi Kiva himself says elsewhere that when you sprinkle over something Tamei, you don't view it as if it's passed over, as if it is Tamei, unless there's a Tumas Oil factor there, but otherwise, no Tumas Oil factor, you don't make it Tamei, so that can't be the explanation. So, granted, Abaye still has to explain what is the Peshan Rabbi Kiva, but he has deflected the Rabbah's pshat is not the pshat of Rabbi Akiva. So what is the pshat? Elam Abaye, the Kula Alma. This is why we were saying before, even though it says Kimit Kimit Mitaritz Abaye, like Abaye answers Rabbah, he's not really answering for Rabbah. He's really offering an alternative pshat, which Rabbah seemingly would agree to. Elam Abaye, the Kula Alma Lav Kimunach. Everyone's going to agree over there that it's Lav Kimunach. Both Chacham and Rabbi Akiva agree when you pass the waters, the kli over the oven, it's not kemunach. That's not the vart. Hachabah kemifugi. So Rabbi Akiva suffered gazrin and shemayenuach. It's very simple. When a person leans over, go back to the case, to the windowsill, over the oven, and he pulls it over, there's a tzad, there's an oven there to put it down. There's a gazeri, he may come to put it down. So even if he doesn't put it down, we're guys to be treated to him as if he put it down. When you sprinkle something, it's once you shot it, once you did the sprinkling, you can't put it down. It's got the, exactly, it's determined. It's determined the arch and the way you threw it. The gravity is determined where it's going to land. Not you're not putting it down in the middle. It's already flowing through the air. So if it did, there's no making the gzeira. That's why Bekiva says. By the case where you sprinkled it, you don't worry about the tumah beneath it. Whereas by the case where you're moving it, you are worried because in both cases we don't say kimunach dami. But by the case where you're moving it, there's a gzeira. You make up to put it down. Simple. How about kamifka Bekiva suffer gzeira shem you know you make up to put it down. Rabbanu suffer gzeira. Rabbanu say you don't make a gzeira. Umaydir Bekiva ba'azay. And therefore Bekiva is maida, like you said, ba'azah that passes over. Source of tumah, you don't have to worry about it. Keep enough and nafik. Once it left your hands, it's going on its trajectory, and it's going to go where, like you said, it's predetermined. I mean, you can figure out mathematically where the angle where it's going to go, but you don't have to worry about it being put down. Fine. So Rabbi now explained the machlekes Rabbi Akiva. We explained the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara gets back full circle to our point. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazer, Rabbanan b'may pligi. So getting back to our machlekes. What's Rabbi Lazar and the Bana arguing on? Right? Rabbi Lazar was saying by the Nida, that goes on a Nida, that he says it works. And that's a raya that Mechatas that becomes Tameh is not, it still works for Tara purposes. And the Rabbanan argued, Argamar didn't bring the Rabbanan argue, but we only brought B'Shem Rabbi Lazar when the Mar assumes, which means the Rabbanan argue. So what's the Machlekes Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan by us? By Me Nida. Rabbaye, meaning like this. Now that we've deflected, I didn't really elaborate this part before. Now that we've deflected that Rabbah's explanation in Machlekes Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan is not the right explanation. So let's go back a step. According to Rabbah, the Machlekes was if it's kemunach, if airspace, like Mel, you brought up right in the beginning, if airspace is kemunach, then according to Rabbah. So that would be a very nice explanation for Machlekes, Rabbi Yezer, and there Rabbanan legabe mechatas ameni and legabe mechatas on anida. Why? Rabbi Lezer was saying that we see from the fact that you can mechatas on anida, it's a raya that even if mechatas waters become tame, they still work. What's the raya? Because Rabbi Lezer subscribes to Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We're going now in the opinion we slugged up, but in Rabbah that what? Rabbah's opinion, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbah's explanation that what? That something is passing over is kemunach. So the mechatas, the paraduma waters, when it goes to the airspace of the woman before it lands on her, is in her airspace, it's kemunach. It already gets its din, tuma. At that point, it already gets its din. At that point, it already gets its din, tuma. So if it's tameh, when it lands on her, how could it work for paraduma waters? Is a raya that even though paraduma waters are tameh, they still work. Beautiful raya for a blazer. And the Rabbanan say that Avir is not kemunach tameh, so until it actually hits her, it's not tameh. And if you have no raya over there, it works because it all happens at once. But in a case where it was pre-tameh, it wouldn't work. That was Rabbah's explanation of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, which would be the same machlekes, Rabbi Blazer and the Rabbanan. Fine. But Abai says, we see that everyone agrees that you don't view it as if it landed. Because Rabbi Akiva also agrees, when it passes over, when you sprinkle, it doesn't stop you as if it landed. Rabbi Akiva had a separate gezeira that maybe, if you're holding it in your hand, you may put it down. So according to Abaye's explanation, we've lost our machlekes Rabbi Elazar and our abanan. What's machlekes Rabbi Elazar abanan? By the paraduma waters and the nida, says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, b'danan tuma keduma metuma sheba isa shakam ifigli. The machlekes is, if you can compare tuma keduma from tuma isa shah, which that touches on our segya, that's mamash our segya, meaning like this. Ironically enough, almost went full circle to the extent that we didn't even need to bring in the Rabbi Akiva now. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan have a set machlekes, and the machlekes over here by chatas, paraduma waters, mechatas, they go on a nida, is set machlekes. Everyone agrees in the airspace is not considered as if it landed. So what's the machlekes? When the paraduma waters hits her, they certainly become tummy. And yet everyone seems to agree that works. For her, for the nida, it works. The question is, could you bring a proof from there that paraduma waters that were already tummy also work or not? Is that a good proof or not? That's what machlekes. Rabbi Elazar says, Masa Radan, Rabbi Elazar says, you could bring a proof from Tumah Ba'isa Shah Tumah that happens at the same moment simultaneously to Tumah that happened prior, and we see that Parah Dumah words work even when they're Tumah. And Rabbanan Safi, you can't bring a proof. And by the same token, extend that down to our original Shaila on top of the Amud. Our Shaila was when the blood hits the Beged, right? It wasn't Tumah yet. When the blood hits the Beged, it wasn't Tumah yet. So do you say that the fact that it became Tumah as at the Beged will not need Kibbutz because now the blood is Tumah? Or do you say that no, that since the Maisa, when it was hitting the Beged, it was still tar, therefore it would require kibbutz? Will be the same machlekes. Do we view something that happened simultaneously as if it happened before or not? According to Blazer, you equate it with happening before, and therefore the Lechera would not need kibbutz. According to Rabbanan, the Lechera would need kibbutz. That would be a raya tar shayla. That is the whole long raya that we're bringing to the shayla. Fine. Now Rava, who often argues on Abaye, as you pointed out, of course, Rava has a different answer to the machlekes about the case of Nida. Rav Amar, which I don't, if I remember correctly, doesn't really get back to our sugya, doesn't really help us with our shayla over here by Dam. Rav Amar Dukla Ma'ein Danin, everyone agrees, Ein Danin, you can't learn out the din of a pre-existing tumah to a tumah that happens b'shas tazrika, b'shas the mechadas hits her skin. So what's the machlekes? And if everyone agrees you can't compare it, so what's the machlekes? Hachaka mifgi, the blood of suffer hazah tzricha shir, umistar from the hazah is rabban tzavi hazah in tzricha shir. Machlekes is whether hazah needs a shir. Rabban tzavi hazah needs a shir. If hazah needs a shir, you need a shir of hazah. So what happens? You spritz a little on her, and the assumption is, we don't find that the nida must become tar. We don't find that she has, again, we don't find that she has to be tar herself before the part of the mu'ar is spritzed. That was step one that we established already before. On top of that, we're making another assumption. We don't find a distinction between a nida that you did the full shear in the first rika, or a nida that you had to do, according to Abdelazar, who holds that you need a shear, but you can start for zrikas, a nida you had to do multiple zrikas on. By the time you're doing the second zrika, the first is for sure tummy, right? And yet it's still being able to be mistarv to a shear. So Rabbi Elazar says that's a raya that may need to part of the mortars that are tummy. For sure, still good, because you're right. The ones that fell b'shas, the first spritzing, the first sprinkling. If that was enough water that fell in the first sprinkling, Rabbi Elazar would agree. The Rabban, everyone would agree. That wouldn't be right to any shiloh, because over there it came at once. That's matahar, but perhaps a pre-existing tumma would not be matahar. That's no raya yet. But the raya from Rabbi Elazar's bringing is that we don't find, it's almost like from we don't find a distinction made, right? It's from the lack of anywhere saying that a nida requires all the zrika to be done at once, and that it came from a starf specifically by a nida. That tells me that even if it's two separate zrikas that being a starf, it works, even though by the time it's a starf, the first zrika is fully tame. I mean, there's a few different ways to explain this nuance, but that's the most simple way. That's the way Rashi explains. So therefore, you see that even though something's tummy, it's still mustarif. By the same token, even if it was pre-existing tummy, it would still be kosher. The Rabbanan hold that hazah don't need a shear. If hazah of mechatas water doesn't need a shear, if it doesn't need a shear, then the first week you want to make it batar, you have no right to the shayla at all. So Rabbanan says between raya, the Rabbanan were not. Mechir wouldn't be. This according to Rabbanan's explanation of the machlekes, it wouldn't be relevant at all to our shayla. By the case of dam that hit the Begadah's tummy, that would be a separate shayla, no raya from there. Okay. Tan Rabban. We said in the Mishnah that achatas that was pasul, the blood doesn't require kibas. Tan Rabban. Midama, we darshan, midama, midam, ksheira, vlemidam, psula, dafka, midam, kasher, does it require, dafka, dam, kasher requires kibas, laundering, dam, pasul doesn't require laundering. Abkiva, emer, haisla, shasakash, vnifsla, damatan, kibas, laisla, shasakash, vnifsla, ain't damatan, kibas. So here we have clearly Ashita's arguing. Rabbi Kiva argues and says, avadir had to have been kosher at some point, but as long as it was kosher at some point, it would, yes, require kibas. So basically, according to Rabbi Kiva, the shayla we start off with on the top of Ahmed would be irrelevant. Our shayla, because where do we start off with? Dam, that was tar, that landed on a beged tameh, does it require kibas or not? Because it becomes tameh as it hits. So what? According to Rabbi Kiva, as long as it once was kosher, it requires kibas. So Rabbi Kiva is clearly arguing on the sheet we said in our Mishnah, we keep it saying that as long as it once had a shasakaisha, it would require kibas. Reb Shimon says, no, as long as it's possible right now, I don't care if it once was kosher, if when the beged when the dam comes in contact with the beged, it already is possible, it would not require kibas. My time with Reb Shimon, ksiv, aysa, you have mit aysa, uksiv midama. Right? One is coming to include, again, we're saying there has to be kosher blood. And now we're saying for the extra miyat of Eisa, it's got to be kosher blood. B'shas, it has to have always been kosher blood. It can't even be blood that once was pasul. That is, that it's not good enough that it once was kosher, I should say. That is Rabbi Shimon's two drashas. Rabbi Kiva, Isa Prala Truma has a whole different drasha. Isa is coming to exclude it from, exclude Truma. That what? Exclude Truma from what? If you remember, we spoke yesterday in the Parsha of Chata, so we're talking about that if the dam is the beggar, it needs to be cleaned. We also spoke about the basar and the dam that go into Kli, the Kli needs to be purged, rinsed and purged of its flavor. Right? We spoke that out, that they, if it gets dam, if Chata's basar was in the Kli needs to be purged of its flavor. What about Lagabi Truma? Does Truma have the same halacha? He's learning a diak from the word Isa, Pratla Truma. Dafka, Charban Chatas needs to be purged from the Kli, but Truma would not need to be purged from the Kli. So once he uses Isa for that, it's not actually to teach me that a case which was Haisla Sasa Kesher would be also, even though Sasa Kesher would be excluded, and therefore he holds, if once that Sasa Kesher, it would indeed need Kibas according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon, how does he know the din of Truma? Simple. He says, Damar Kachikam, Eintan Miriki Vashtifa, Koshkin Truma. Rabbi Shimon holds that, forget about Truma. Only Chatas needs Mirko Shtifa. Kachim Kalim doesn't need Mirko Shtifa, and Truma for sure doesn't need Mirko Shtifa. So he doesn't need the Pasuk of Isa to exclude Truma. He already excluded Kachim Kalim, not sure how, but he excluded Kachim Kalim, and therefore Kol Shekain, Truma. Okay, very good.
No one cares about this.
It's going to be a Gemara, Rashi, it's going to be, this Machlekes will be a Gemara coming up in Sadek Hay, how we know that Kachim Kalim is also excluded Kachim Shimon, so we'll see there yet. We're talking about the chiyuv of keep. I think it's something else. I'm not sure. I didn't ask yet, so that's why I didn't bring it up because I didn't see an answer. We just spoke out yesterday. You quoted the Gemara yesterday without realizing it. Ein anis makam ashiris, and we learned from there that you don't wash any big tikkuna. We said even with soap, right? So what does this mean? What's going on over here? So unless kibbutz over here means something else, that's my understanding is kibbutz here is different than a washing from stains. It's more of a tefillah in the mikvah, almost similar to that. More of that idea. In which case, then your question doesn't apply. We're not focused on the cleanliness element of here. Why not? That's not the focus here. Could be it's in a place where it's not even noticeable. We're not talking about the cleanliness element of Shabbat. We're focused on the din, the kedusha Shabbat. The dam needs to be purged from it. So if that's the discussion, and maybe that's the answer why it's not a problem with any smoke machines either. If that's the discussion, so then your question is not fair. Zakta Mishnah. Nitas min atzavar al beged. What if the blood splattered from the animal's neck onto the beged? So it never went to klisharis, never kabbalah. Ein naitan kibas. Such blood does not require kibas. Min akeren. Similarly, if it splattered off the horn of the mizbeach, after Azrika, I shouldn't say similarly. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Sorry. Again, if it splatters for the animal's neck before klisharis, it does not require kibbutz. Similarly, if it splatters off the karen, off the horn of the mizbeach where it was applied, umenei aside, or from the base, that simply would sound like from the shirayim that you pour to the base. That's a simple dash. When you say it, it doesn't mean that. Ain't it on kibbutz? It doesn't require kibbutz. The reason why it doesn't mean from the base, because it's very simple. You're telling me the blood that splatters off the horn of the mizbeach doesn't require kibbutz. So why would I think that the blood that splatters from the base requires kibbutz? Same thing. You ready for right? Same dinner ready. You already know it. The chiddush is it means like this: not only is the blood that you did zrika itself to—that's the blood on the horn. After the zrika, that blood that goes in the bag, it does not require kibbutz. The blood that's left in the klisharis that's fit for pouring to the base—that's the in English we call that the shirayim, right? That's called the shirayim, right? So the shirayim is fit to go to the base. That's what the Mishnah means. That had a zrika done from it, but it itself wasn't. Nizrak, and even now we're saying if it goes to the Begad, does not require kibbutz. That's how we're going to explain the Minah Yisayid. Ein etan kibbutz, nishpach al ritzpa safai. If the blood fell on the floor and then was gathered, ein etan kibbutz. Again, it's not etan kibbutz. It's the case where it spilled on the floor directly for the animal's neck, like we had yesterday, and therefore it's not kasher for zrika. Says the Mishnah klal, and the Gemara is going to ask the klal seems to be repetitive. Ein etan kibbutz al dam sheskaba b'kli v'elazoya. It only requires kibbutz, dam that's fit, that was makubal in a kli, and fit for zrika. Whereas dam that fell directly to the floor for the animal's neck is not fit for it wasn't in the kli, is not fit for zrika, and therefore it doesn't keep us. Whereas this, what's that line adding? It's pretty clear from the early case of the Mishnah. We spoke all that, or he said if it went straight for the animal's neck, no kibbutz. If it went snishbech l'ritz, but no kibbutz, what's that last line adding? Yeah.
Is this like a timing thing? Like this is basically saying pre zrika,
Correct. Well, that's what says that was a separate thing in the Mishnah. I'm not sure. What do you mean by timing? After the it's not a mitzvah. Is the point after the mitzvah after you finish the mitzvah of the dam, it's not alive anymore, so to speak. But yeah. Tan Rabban.
So what was with, didn't they have to also burn the gadi?
Not sure.
No, just they could wash it.
Correct. Kibbutz. Yeah. Tan Rabban. I would have thought that if a blood went from the neck of the animal onto the beged, it requires kibbutz as well. Therefore, the Torah says, Asher yazeh, which in Lashon is that sprinkled onto the beged, but le'amaytach ele baroi lazah. We darsha from there that the Lashon sprinkle is something which is fit for hazah, it's fit ready for hazah, and therefore only once it went into klisharis, which is fit for hazah, is it subject to the din of kibbutz. Tani idach, another braisa. I would think blood that splatters off the mizbeach from the horn or from the base, which we explain that means fit for the base. It would need kibbutz. Tamalemer again, ashiyaza. So same pasuk, but opposite direction, meaning prat lezeshik farhuza. So from ashiyaza, we're making the brisa different. Two different brisas are making two different drushas. One drush is only blood that's fit to be nizrak is subject to tumah, as opposed to blood that that's actually the way both brisas are touching it. But that excludes A, blood that fell out of the animal's neck directly to the floor, which was never fit to be muzah in the first place, or blood that already was muzah, which is no longer fit to be muzah because it already was huzah, it already had zrika. So both of those are excluded. That's the two biases. Okay. Mishpacha l'ritzpah. We said in the Mishnah, if the blood fell on the floor and then he gathered it up, it will not require a gwan in the beged, it won't require kibbutz because the blood is not fit for sprinkling unless it goes into kli. The Mishnah then elaborates and says, only blood that goes into kli is going to be subject to kibbutz. Fakti mar hoslamli. What's the last line of the Mishnah adding? Ma tam kam. Remember, says you're right, it's a ma tam kam. It's just the Mishnah is an explanation. It's not a new din. It's explaining. Ma tam nishbacha ritzpah basafa ain't a ton of kibbutz. Why is it that if the blood falls on the floor, it doesn't need kibbutz? Lefi shein ton kibbutz, el adam shes kapa b'kibbutz re'elazah. The Mishnah is explaining. Only blood that went into kli'ez v'fazah, it needs kibbutz. The Mishnah is like almost like the brisa, just left out the drush of the word huza, but is explaining the reasoning is because it needs to be fit for hazah in order to be obligated in kibbutz. Roy Laza. So he said in the Mishnah that blood that's fit for hazah, only then is it as a din of kibbutz. Limut emai. What does Roy Laza come to exclude? Limut e kibbutz pachas mekadeh hazah b'kizeh u'pachas mekadeh hazah b'kizeh. Very interesting case. What if the guy was mekabel dam from the animal's neck in a kli, but he accepted the shear of hazah, let's say, whatever the shear is, let's say it's 2 ounces. He accepted 1 ounce in one kli and 1 ounce in another kli. In such a case, we're saying it's no good because the chiddush. The way the first explained it is the chiddush is even if he was to go and combine that afterwards, since b'shas the kabbalas, it wasn't fit for zrika, it wouldn't be considered roi, and such dam now would not make the beged tame if it's the beged. It's not considered roi for zrika. Netanya, Rabbi Chalafta bar Shaul Aymer, kiddush pachas mekli yazah mekli zeh, who pachas mekli yazah mekli zeh, loy kiddush. This is talking about by paraduma waters. If he put Mechatas into not enough water for one zrika in one kli, and not enough water for a zrika in the second kli, like kiddush, the waters don't become sanctified. Even should you subsequently combine the waters and now you have a shear, it doesn't work. So to answer what you were about to ask, Mel, yes, correct. It would not work for zrika either. That's the Gemara is making a connect. Well, let me pause. We're bringing a connection from the case of paradim waters. Ibayalu, look at the next line. Bedam mahu, what's takat halacha by the case of this dam, meaning if the kohen he accepted by the chatas pimis, he accepted less than this amount of blood in each kli, he then put it together, what would be the halacha? He now has the amount that you need for the 7 zrikas, right, on the parechas and the zrikas on the be'er. Or do you say that since it was initially not the right amount, it doesn't get kiddush kli, it's not good enough?
Hilchasa,
sorry,
what's the shear?
The shear of zrika, which so chatas pimis would be 7 zrikas on the parechas and the 4 applications on the Mizbeach HaPrimi. Hilchasi, Gemara asks, is the halacha of Moshe B'Sinai a milchus legaminan? Do we say this halacha that has to be all at once, the kiddush has been once, is halacha of Moshe B'Sinai? And that was specifically said by Paraduma, and you can't learn out from there to Mechatas. Ay Dilma, In which case, by dam, it would be okay. It says v'tava b'mayim. It says that you should be tava b'mayim. You have to have a shir tefillah b'shas achas. It's a drush. It's not like a mishnah. It's a drush of v'tava b'mayim. Hachadami by dam. What do we have? Ksiv v'tava b'dam. By dam too, we have the drusha. We have the lashon v'tava b'dam. And therefore, I would learn out and say that by dam as well would have the exact same halacha. That if you're missing the shir, it won't be good. That's our shayla. Tashima. Dam. Yes.
The 7 and 4. Could they look at 7 and you only need one of the 4 to be valid?
The 4 b'fnim ha'omakev. Right, good thought, but that'll be for chatzis chutzenis. But for panimis, all would be makev. Tashema, damar b'zreika, amar b'lazer, af b'dam l'kiddush. B'zreika said name b'lazer that by the case of blood also he was not mekadesh. Meaning, when he accepted it in less than a shear in 2 separate kelim, and then wants to combine it, it's no good because the dam in the first 2 kelim did not get kedusha because less than a shear, and therefore wouldn't have to combine it. I'm Rava Tanya. Rava says that we have a brisa to back up this psak of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Zreika in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Why? Because it says v'taval v'le masabig. It says the brisa. We had this early in the Masechta actually. V'taval, the kohen should dip his finger in the blood. We darsh v'le masabig, not wipe it in the blood. He has to be able to dip it in the blood. Meaning there should be. The should be able to be have enough blood in the kli that he simply sticks his finger in and it's loose and he gets enough blood in his finger for hazah, not that he has to scrape against the kli. Okay, badam achi he shir she badam shir tefila meikari. The second dash is you have to have that shir meikari. That shir has to be there. That's the halacha we're focused on right now. Initially, it can't be that you combine it later. It has to be there initially. What's the third drasha? Minadam she beinyan has to be from the blood. That's being discussed in the pasuk. What does that add? We'll see in a few moments. That adds that what does he do with the leftover blood on his finger after each hazah? He's got to wipe it off. We'll see later on the side of the kli. That's the place to wipe it, and then do the new, then reinsert his finger for a new hazah. You can't use leftover blood from hazah A and leave it on the finger to be part of hazah B. That's the moving darshim from the more elaborate. Yet the more elaborate in a second.
But he puts it in the same
kli. He's wiping it on the side, like on the lip. On the side of the yes, good boy. Vitzich lemichtav b'dam says, "Well, you need to write the din of b'dam." Vitzich lemichtav b'tavol. Remember, we said over here we just had 2 separate drashas: b'dam b'tavol. So Mer just elaborates what each one's really, what each one, which the nekud each one's teaching us. Dikas rechmona b'tavol. If we just say b'tavol, hava mina afapid like a shear tefila meikara. I don't care if you had a shear initially, as long as you have a shear right now to stick your finger in. And you can get it easily without wiping the kli. That's good enough. Kas rechmona b'dam. Therefore, it says b'dam. Because rechmona b'dam, have mina feel masabig. Even if you wipe, scrape the pot, as long as you're not a shear, as long as the shear was all there initially. Even if the shear requires you to scrape the pot, that's good enough too. Because rechmona b'tavla, if it says b'tavla, you have to dip your finger. And min adam shabinyan the mutamah was excluded. We already spoke this out. Amreva lemuta shirayim shabetzba. That comes to exclude the shirayim on his finger, and that cannot be used for the next zrika. Masele der blazer. Gemara says that last diak of saying that the shirayim left in the finger have to be wiped off, can't be used for the next rika. That's a riot to Rabbi Elazar. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shraim Shabbat, Sapsulim, he says the Shraim and the Etzba are puzzle. Amle Ravan Bar, Adul Rav, Amar Talmidcha, Amar Rav Amram. Your Talmud said, in the name of Amram, Tanina, we learned in a Braisa, it's going to be a kasha on this last din, Hayamaze, Venitza, Zamiyadai. If the Kayim was doing sprinkling of the blood on the Chatas Primius, and the blood went from his hand onto the Beged, so that's blood that's about to be in the Nizrik on the Mizbech, went from his hand onto the Beged. What's the halacha? Pashit say, is Beged should require kibbutz. So the Brayis elaborates. Ad shalahiza, if it's before he did a sprinkle yet, tan kibbutz, like we just said, it makes sense, that would be kibbutz. However, mishahiza ain't tan kibbutz. Once he's already done the Zrik on the blood, then the Beged that it splatters on doesn't require kibbutz. My lafach kama, what's the saying? Gemara is elaborating. What is the Brayis saying? Ad shalagam lazayis, as long as he didn't finish doing sprinkling, tankibas, mishigab lazayis ain't tankibas. If he hasn't been finished all the zrikas, it requires kibas. If he's finished, it requires kibas. But according to you, every time he does azah, the blood left on his finger is already no longer good. You got to wipe that blood off on the side of the kli. So why do you have to wait till all the azahs are finished to say that it doesn't need kibas? Even the blood on his finger in between each azah shouldn't need kibas. So again, the way the Gemara is interpreting the braisa is that if he's finished the azayis in totality, only then does it not require kibbutz. But if he didn't finish the azayis in totality, it would require kibbutz if some of the blood went off his finger onto the beggar. But the distinguishing factor should be not if he finished all the hazayas, every individual hazah. If he finished that hazah, the remaining blood on his finger should not require kibbutz. And if he didn't finish that hazah yet, it should require kibbutz. But according to you, right? Again, according to the way the way he's reading the brisa, is shver. So Gemara loy, hachamar. Teach the brisa different. Simple. Teach the brisa the way you just said it. Actually, yasa hazam yaday tan kibas. Mishyatz hazam yaday ain't tan kibas. Each specific hazah, right? Simple, which is a simple way to read the brisa. In a way, I may have even been the way that I would read the brisa without any ulterior factors of mind, right? Without knowing anything else from our Gemara earlier today. Personally, I probably would have read the Brisa this way anyway. Atches hazam yaday, every individual zrika. Till he does his zrika, the blood in it, because it's live blood, it's waiting for zrika. If that goes in the bag, it requires kibbutz. After you did his zrika, the remaining blood on the finger in that azah alone, not in all the azah, in that azah alone, would not require kibbutz, which is on the contrary, ends up being a raya to Rabbi Elazar. Eitz vei. Okay, yes. Here's a good point.
Does he have to change the beged
that he's wearing?
Yeah.
Sure.
At the time.
What do you mean? Can he finish the avodah?
Well, he stayed.
You want to know? Would he have to stop the avodah in the middle? If he's middle of the avodah, I would presume so. I presume, but I don't know for sure. Okay. It's a good question. I would presume so. This is actually in this case the way we're teaching it is a very very valid question. The guy's in the middle doing the zrikas before him, and it's spattered on him in the middle of the zrikas, and the beged now needs kibbutz. I would presume that if he's wearing a beggar that needs kibbutz, that I, again, just an assumption. I don't know the answer, but I would assume he'd have to pause. Maybe someone mixes the blood, or someone else finishes the zrikas. But I would assume that if the beggar needs kibbutz, he can't finish even that avodah. But it could be once he started, he could finish. I don't know. My assumption would be that he would have to change it. Okay, eis ve'abayim. Gamar lahazis, if he when he finished doing the sprinklings, this is talking about the paraduma blood. Towards the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, the Paraduma was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, right? Towards the Harzeisim over the area, facing the Beis HaMikdash. You'd have a pit, you'd burn it, you'd do seven zrikas towards the Beis HaMikdash. After he finished doing these zrikas, Mekanecha the Buk of Hoshabara, he wipes the blood that's remaining on his hand into the body of the cow. Make a diyak, gummer, in. Only after he finishes zrikas, he does that. Like gummer, loy. Only after he finishes zrika does it, but before that not. Sounds like the blood that remains on his fingers in between each zrika is okay, you don't have to wipe it off. Now, okay, this obviously talking about paradumas outside of his mission. It's a different story, but you see, it is considered a paras chattas to an extent. You see, we're not makbid to wipe off the blood in between zrikas, and we're saying, but you have to. Amar lei, so Rav says, Tabaye, gamar mekaneach yada begufa shapara. When he's gamar, that's when he wipes his hands in the goof of the para. Lei gamar mekaneach etzbay. So, to be more specific, when he's gamar, he wipes his whole hand in the goof of the para. Lay gamar, namely, in between zrikas, he doesn't wipe off his hand, doesn't say weird wipes either, he doesn't wipe off his hand, he wipes off his finger, right? Because taka, the remaining blood on his finger is no good, but he does wipe his finger in between. He's only wiping his whole hand at the end of the zrikas, but his finger he is wiping in between. Now, what's the diak? It's understandable that when he finishes, he wipes his hand in the body of the para, because the pasuk says you should burn the para le'enav. The Mara doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk, but the rest of the pasuk says v'saraf as a para le'enav, as ayra, as pesara, as dama. Al pesha yisraf. So you have to burn the whole thing. So therefore, it makes sense. He's wiping his hand in the para to get rid of, make sure all blood is in the para to be burnt. El etzba makaneh. What is he wiping his finger with? A rabbi b'sfas mizra. The taka wipes his finger b'sfas. Mizrak on the edge, the rim of the kli, like we spoke at before. It says kiparizav. The reason why he wouldn't wipe his finger in between on the cow is fairly obvious. What's going to happen? If you take your hand, try it at home. Take your hand when it's a little sticky with something on it and wipe it on a piece of meat. Forget about a cow with all the hair on a piece of meat. You won't be clean. So he's going to do is reeking up with a dirty finger. So wiping on the bowl will scrape off the blood. It'll be clean. Wiping on the par is just not. Even so, you're right. It has to be smooth enough. As long as it's smooth, you should be able to get the blood off. You're right. The sharper, the better it would be. Correct. But the wiping on the para is not going to make it fully clean. So wiping the finger is done on the edge of the kli, whereas wiping his hand, after all said and done, is to make sure any remnants of the para is in the para, so you should be able to burn the whole thing. You know, like the pasuk says, we'll pick it up here tomorrow.